Fast response times can help you beat the dealer down the street. Get a tool that can respond to your leads in 15 seconds or less and help you book test drives 24/7, nights and weekends, so you can sell more cars. Podium's AI BDC is a conversational AI employee who sells, schedules, and talks with customers day and night and sounds like your best sales rep. Transform potential interest into sales today with Podium. Visit podium.com/daily drive. That's podium.com/daily drive.
Want to dive deeper into the topics you hear about on Daily Drive? We're offering listeners a special offer, 20% off a one-year Automotive News digital subscription. That gets you access to all of our news, information, and analysis made for automotive industry leaders like you. Go to autonews.com/daily drive promo to redeem.
Welcome to Daily Drive for Wednesday, April 17th, 2024. I'm Jake Neer in Detroit, in for Jamie Butters, who's out on assignment.
And I'm Kelman Walker in Las Vegas. Today on the show, nearly 3 million Honda vehicles are now part of a NHTSA probe into sudden braking issues. Tesla Cybertruck deliveries are on hold over acceleration problems. And 6 Southern governors come out in opposition to UAW organizing votes on the eve of this week's election in Chattanooga. Plus, we'll hear directly from Volkswagen workers in Chattanooga about how they're feeling about unionizing as voting begins, and what's different this time compared to the failed vote in 2019.
There was a lot of just people who were not really energized about it at all. Not like now. It's very different now.
Let's run through all the news you need to know to keep up in the auto industry.
U.S. safety regulators have upgraded a probe into nearly 3 million Honda vehicles. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is looking into whether and how often emergency braking systems activate unexpectedly. NHTSA says it has received almost 1,300 complaints about inadvertent braking. The agency says there have been 50 reported injuries and 31 crashes related to the issue. NHTSA first opened a preliminary evaluation into Honda in February 2022 to probe 2018 and 2019 Honda Accord midsize cars and 2017 through 2019 Honda CR-V compact crossovers. The agency updated the probe to an engineering analysis on Monday and expanded the scope to include 2020 through 2022 Honda CR-V and Accord vehicles. That's almost double the number of vehicles included in the probe, from 1.7 million to 3 million. A Honda spokesperson could not be immediately reached for comment on the investigation.
Tesla Cybertrucks are piling up at the automaker's Texas factory. Reservation holders are saying in online forums that deliveries are on hold due to an accelerator pedal cover that could come loose. On the Cybertruck owners forum, several reservation holders said their scheduled deliveries were canceled in recent days. Tesla doesn't have a U.S. press office to seek comment. Tesla's X account, which posts official information from the automaker, has not commented on the Cybertruck issue as of recording time on Wednesday. Business Insider reported Monday that NHTSA was aware of the issue and in contact with Tesla.
Tesla is asking shareholders to vote again on the same $56 billion compensation package for CEO Elon Musk that was voided by a Delaware court earlier this year. Tesla Chair Robin Denholm criticized the Delaware Chancery Court's January decision, writing that it amounted to second-guessing shareholders who had approved Musk's performance-based award in 2018. In its proxy filing issued Wednesday, Tesla also said it will call a vote on moving the company's state of incorporation to Texas from Delaware. The carmaker will convene its annual meeting on June 13th.
And 6 governors have issued a statement in protest of the UAW's ongoing unionization campaigns in the southern U.S. The UAW is working on a $40 million push to expand its presence in the South and break its decades-long losing streak of organizing non-union auto plants. The letter includes signatures from the governors of Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas. The group says unionization could jeopardize jobs in their states. The letter says, quote, We want to keep good paying jobs and continue to grow the American auto manufacturing sector here. A successful unionization drive will stop this growth in its tracks to the detriment of American workers. Voting begins today at Volkswagen's plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee, on whether workers there will join a UAW local. Mercedes-Benz workers in Vance, Alabama, have also filed for a union election. And those are today's headlines. Coming up, we'll hear from some of those VW workers in Chattanooga about what's happening at the plant ahead of this week's union vote. That's next on Daily Drive.
Fast response times can help you beat the dealer down the street. Get a tool that can help you respond to all your leads in 15 seconds or less, 24/7, nights and weekends. Check out Podium's AI BDC, a conversational AI employee who sells, schedules, and talks with customers day and night with human-like communication. Your response time to leads is crucial. With your new AI BDC, you'll engage with leads fast, increasing the chance of selling a car to 45%. Customize your AI BDC to what your dealership needs and start booking more test drives. Sell 10 to 15 more cars per month by connecting quickly with leads over text. Visit podium.com/dailydrive. Again, that is podium.com/dailydrive.
Welcome back to Daily Drive. I'm Jake Neer with Kellen Walker. Voting is now underway in Chattanooga, Tennessee, to decide whether workers at Volkswagen's plant there will form a union local and join the UAW. It's the third such attempt in recent history. The last vote in 2019 barely missed the threshold needed for workers to unionize. But many in the plant say this time is different. Michael Martinez covers the UAW and Ford for us at Automotive News. He recently went down to Chattanooga to speak with workers there about the efforts this time around. In this special report, he and I talk about what they told him and what experts are saying about the UAW's chances of finally winning a vote at a foreign-owned auto plant in the South. Michael Martinez, welcome back to Daily Drive.
Thanks for having me.
Seems like we've been talking a lot this week. Obviously, the UAW vote is a huge benchmark in a much broader sort of modern history here of the UAW and the labor movement, generally speaking. What are some of the biggest points that you heard from workers themselves about why they're pushing for this vote, especially this time around?
I'd say the big word to boil it down into one or two phrases would be job security and security for their families.
My family deserves it.
That's Kelsey Smith, 48-year-old employee who's been with VW for about a year.
I want to join the UAW to have a better quality of life. It's an opportunity for us here in the South to make change historically.
Almost everybody I spoke with admitted that they have pretty good jobs, pretty good living, but it could be better. And at the end of the day, everybody, including Sean Fain, makes the argument that if you don't have a union, the automaker can do whatever they want to you. They can take it away at any point. They could even do something as mundane as change your break times on a whim. But if you have a contract, if you have a union that you can fall back on, you will have things in writing that they have to stick to the T, when it comes to your pay, when it comes to your schedule. So they can't potentially abuse you in the future. Not saying they would, but there would just be more guardrails in place. And for all these workers, that would mean a heck of a lot to them. And that extra money and those better benefits they would get if they were part of the union would definitely pay off for their family members. You really can't overstate what happened up here in Detroit this past fall. When we were in it, covering it for all those months, not sure if it would reverberate much beyond the headquarters of the companies here or the various Detroit 3 plants, but this is how everything started.
You know, we see what the big three got with their contract negotiations, and it gets people thinking and realizing, like, hey, we can come together.
So I spoke with Isaac Meadows, who's a worker, been there about 14 months, a little over a year. He works right on the assembly line. When Atlases and ID4s come out of the paint shop, he starts to screw in parts onto the vehicle bodies. And he said he wants to join the union because, again, he wants that greater sense of security. And He said he was inspired by what the Detroit 3 did this past fall.
You know, I got involved, I think it was right before the strikes, kind of saw what was going on, and then I threw my name in the hat to volunteer and start organizing, and then it just kind of took off like wildfire. Looking at the economy, you know, all the inflation, how expensive everything's gotten out there, you know, wages just haven't caught up. You know, Volkswagen reported $23 billion in profit last year, and we're still struggling to make ends meet. So we're hoping to close that gap a little bit.
It was because of the Detroit 3 contracts that all of a sudden, union people in Detroit started getting hits on these old expired websites. They had web pages from campaigns from 5, 6, 7 years ago that had, you know, sign up for more information pages. And suddenly they started getting hits on them. They came alive this fall as the ink was drying on the Detroit 3 contracts. And it was workers down south seeing what workers up here got, wanting that same thing and wanting to start the process to organize. So this thing was worker led from the very beginning. And I think that might make a difference here. It's not officials from Solidarity House in Detroit telling them what to do. This is from start to finish been about these workers, what they know will work, and trying to make it happen.
What about for those of the workers that you spoke with who were in Chattanooga at VW last time when the vote failed, but very narrowly, what did they tell you about what was different this time around, or maybe what's the same?
Well, I'd say there's really a night and day difference specifically to VW and that 2019 vote. And it goes everything from how the automaker itself is handling things. I've reported about how VW staying neutral this time. And they were really a lot more hostile in 2019 in terms of being anti-union and not wanting the UAW to set up shop there. But also the climate in general has changed. There's a better feeling about unions. There's a better feeling about the UAW because of what it's been able to do in terms of the Detroit 3 contracts. Workers in the South have been able to see exactly what a union could do for them. Also spoke with Yolanda Peoples.
We can't fail. We can't. Absolutely not.
Honestly, if you've consumed any sort of news about VW and the UAW in the past few months, you've seen her out and about. She told me she's given a number of interviews to national publications. She's excited about that. Also a member of that volunteer committee trying to unionize. She's been at the plant 13 years, so she's seen the past two failed attempts. And she's excited. She does see a lot of differences between this campaign and the past few.
People that's been there as long as I have and gone through the first and second vote, they are just tired. We gave Volkswagen a chance the first two times. Now let's see what change can happen. And Volkswagen disappointed us the first two times. Let's see if this can really benefit us. And that's what my experience is with speaking with a lot of the, we call them OGs, the older guys that's been there. Let's just try something different because obviously this isn't working.
She told me she's actually getting close to retirement and she wants more retirement security. She thinks having a UAW contract, some better benefits could provide. And some of the experts I spoke with said that's the type of sales pitch you need, right? The sales pitch before was, hey, concessions. Hey, we're going to give things up in the Great Recession. Now it's more about here's that 25% raise. Here's that cost of living adjustment. You only got that because you're with the UAW. And that goes a long way for these workers' cases.
I think this is a very good climate for the UAW to try to organize.
Dr. Steven Sylvia, he literally wrote the book on how the UAW organizes or how it's failed to organize in the South. And he essentially said that the UAW didn't have all these wins under its belts in 2019 and 2014, 17, et cetera, when it was trying to organize some of these same plants in the past.
But the strike of the big three showed that the UAW can deliver. And I think that was something that was absent in the earlier drives, that the UAW would talk about its storied history and it would talk about its existing contract. But anybody looking at the recent history would see a history of the UAW making concessions in an attempt to preserve jobs. And that is not a good sales pitch.
Beyond the Detroit 3 contracts, you really have to look at how the UAW is structured as a major difference as well. That last vote at VW in 2019, we were in the heart of the corruption scandal. Two presidents in jail, a number of vice presidents and high-ranking union officials stealing money from members. It's the worst thing you could do as a union official, to pay for lavish golf trips and cigars and fancy bottles of alcohol. If I'm a member on the fence, that's going to turn me off. I don't want to be part of that. Why would I want to pay money to have somebody up in Detroit, who I'm probably never going to see, abuse it and use it to, for their own benefit? And that is something that a lot of people told me is obviously not a part of this drive, and it's going a long way. It could sway a lot more people. The fact that the union has democratically elected leaders, it has better representation, it has people that are really focused on not slipping back in to these same bad habits that leadership had in the past. And the fact that there are guardrails to prevent that in the form of a monitor and oversight and things of that nature. Spoke with Zach Costello. He's also in that VW plant, been there since 2017, saw the most recent failed organizing attempt.
I barely heard about it. Every once in a while, you'd hear a question, like somebody ask a question or somebody kind of bring it up and it'll be discussed briefly. But for the most part, it felt like almost like we were haunted by the discussion, and you know, you had to like be at the right place at the right time to hear about it. And for the most part, people just didn't mention it much. And then just before the vote, there was a whole lot of captive audience meetings where they would have somebody say a few words against the union at every single morning meeting. It was ridiculous. So none of that this time, fortunately.
He's saying that in the past, he's noticed people weren't as jazzed about talking about the UAW, that it was sort of whispered in hushed tones throughout the plant, and not something that even the most ardent supporters were very excited about. But now he says it's different, and he's seeing a lot of enthusiasm for the UAW.
Back then, there was a lot more people like saying that there just wasn't a point to unionize, that things weren't any better over in the other plants that were represented at the time. I kind of disagreed. Like I said, they had a say that we didn't. But I felt personally like my social standing there was very precarious with me being newer. And there was a lot of just people who were not really energized about it at all. Not like now. It's very different now.
Now, none of this is a given, even based on what we've heard so far in Chattanooga and sort of the momentum that the UAW has been building here. Dr. Stephen Sylvia told you a little bit about some of the challenges remaining, sort of inherent challenges to organizing in the South.
The challenges in the South in particular are multiple. It's typical in the South that these plants are in rural areas, and that makes it hard to do house calls and all of the old traditional methods that unions have used to organize.
There's a bunch of challenges, and some of them aren't going away. They involve sort of the political and business establishment that are anti-union for a number of reasons. One argument they tend to make is that if a company like Volkswagen in Tennessee is forced to pay significantly higher labor costs if their workforce unionizes, they may not want to invest anymore in Tennessee. They may look elsewhere where they don't have to have those same kind of high costs, whether that be Mexico or other countries. It's the same argument we hear up in Detroit from the anti-union folks. It's the same argument we hear from the automakers themselves, quite frankly, during contract talks, is that it is a business. It does come down to dollar and cents. If you're spending more money for labor, you can't spend other money elsewhere. So that's a concern that they have. The political establishment in Tennessee, elsewhere, have been anti-union for a while. There's still, you saw the governor in Tennessee, Bill Lee, speak out against the union, albeit not from inside the plant like 2019 when VW invited him, but he still spoke and said workers would be making a big mistake if they unionized because of concerns about the future. So that's not going away. I think some business leaders also spoke out, worried about what might happen. You know, that's going to be an issue the union supporters will have to overcome.
We've heard already from Sean Fain for the first 2 days of the week talking about his perspective. And we've also sort of previewed the 10,000 foot view of what to expect. But we should also mention that there are people who maybe aren't that jazzed about the idea of VW in Chattanooga unionizing or the broader unionization vote. They're just not as vocal or available as maybe the other side is right now, which I think is probably notable in itself, is it not?
Yeah, I'd say so. And it sort of works both ways, this idea of intimidation, really. You know, if you speak out about the UAW in favor of it, some folks are worried that management will look down on you or suddenly find a way to give you some type of infraction or you could lose your job. But from the other side too, people who don't want the union are sort of afraid to speak out in a sense now that it's becoming more and more popular and more folks are talking about it. But when it gets down to it, a lot of their arguments, a lot of their beliefs sort of fall along the same paths that they have for a long time, especially in the South, in a lot of these rural areas. These auto jobs are some of the best in the area, in areas with very low unemployment anyway. So they're competitive and they're selected for these very good paying jobs. They still have good benefits, arguably not as great as the unionized automakers in some respects, but they don't really want to rock the boat and potentially give up those great jobs. So maybe that's why they're not speaking out as much. Maybe that's why they don't want a union in the first place, because they don't want to risk anything in the future.
What should listeners take away and be thinking about as they see the ballots come in and the results returned later this week?
I think the ground game is going to matter here. And that's something they really focused on. And that means people like Yolanda and Isaac and Zach talking with their fellow coworkers, right? In organizing drives like this, there's a lot of different methods in terms of getting the message out, getting the news out. But what they've really tried to do is to make things personal and talk one-on-one with people on the line next to them, create a network of support that touches every single department on every single shift. So every single person within that plant at least has the opportunity to hear from a union supporter. And I think that's going to matter, right? Because when we look at 2019, even 2014, you know, some of these votes were really, really close. I think in 19, if you flipped something like 29, 30 votes around there, you would have had a different outcome. And getting to that 29, 30, maybe that's just a matter of talking to that many more people. Seems like they've learned that lesson.
Voting is starting today. It ends Friday. We'll probably have results Friday evening. Michael Martinez, thank you so much for all of your coverage and everything that you've been doing following the UAW and its various organizing efforts.
Thanks, Jake.
That's Daily Drive for today. I'm Jake Neer, in for Jamie Butters.
And I'm Kellen Walker. Thanks to Automotive News journalists George Wykamp, Lawrence Iliff, and Caitlin Luckoff for their reporting for today's podcast. You can get the latest news on the union vote in Chattanooga, safety investigations, and everything happening in the auto industry at autonews.com.
Come back tomorrow for a conversation with Greg McGuire, Managing Director of the M-City Connected and Autonomous Vehicle Test Track.
When those things fail, they don't fail in ways that are reasonable for humans. The inputs are reasonable to you and I, but the AI model is out over its skis and it's hallucinating.
We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think of the show and the topics we covered today. Send us an email at dailydrive@autonews.com or leave us a voicemail at 313-444-2774. And if you enjoy the podcast, remember to like, leave a review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.